one big controversial bureau left.
Last it is, the moment.
Can I sit here?
No. I don't understand why everyone left.
Yeah.
I thought they were here for the budget office. Just waiting. So we only have 15 minutes scheduled, but of course we'll be here as long as the questions go on. But I will be relatively brief. The city budget office total requested base budget, and you can see in here, and I should note, we do a very short review of the city budget office, although we do note right up front that obviously it is difficult to make recommendations, objective recommendations about our own bureau, so we don't really pretend to do that. I think we try and provide information, but sort of recognize that conflict right up front. The total base budget for the city budget office in 2015-16 is just under $2 million, $1.988 million. That includes 12 permanent FTE, one limited term analyst, and one Hatfield fellow. And there are three decision packages that we've put forward for this budget. The first of which is $1 million for new brass budgeting software. This is something, I think it's the third year in a row we've put it on, so I think the committee and council are familiar with this request. Our existing budget software is unsupported. It does work fine right now, but it is unsupported, and so to the extent it breaks, we will need to replace it. We'll need to replace it very quickly. We did put it through the asset management process, and you'll see it ranked 18th out of 21 projects, again, with a relatively low asset management risk score. And again, the reason for that is that it is working right now. As a result of that, we don't recommend council allocate funding to this project because of all the other things that are on the list that are higher priority. I do think it highlights, though, just a need in the city. It highlights the asset management backlog and the problem that creates, is that we have so many things that are high priority, we're not able to get to that second and third tier of projects. And this project will, when it breaks, and I hope that's not until we've been able to come up with a plan to fund it, when it does break, it will go up that list very dramatically and very quickly, because most of your bureaus will have to start doing their budgets on spreadsheets, and they will not be very happy about the time spent to do that. But again, it's an important issue. It does not rank very high, and it's not recommended at this time. The second request, and the one I'll spend a little bit of time on, is a request for a senior management analyst position. So the city budget office, as I mentioned, we have 12 permanent positions, one limited term and one Hatfield fellow. In the 2013-14 budget, this was the big reductions that occurred in bureaus throughout the city, we did reduce an FTE. We lost a senior economist position, and we transferred the work of that position to others within the office. Some of it went to the city economist, and some to other analysts in the office. And so that is sort of the historical context. And over the last really 18 to 24 months, we've been implementing the performance management system that you've seen through the dashboards and some of the other efforts that have been happening. And this is a very, I think it's a very valuable process. It is very time intensive. There's a lot of outreach involved. There's a lot of coordination with bureaus. The data visualization hopefully looks good when it gets to you. It takes quite a bit of time to get it to that point. And what I've done over the last sort of year and a half to 2 years is really shifted existing analysts that we have in the office away from some of the core budget work over to that performance management work. And I think that was a very good short-term trade-off. And as the director of the budget office and in talking to the mayor's office, we felt that it was important enough to get this system off the ground and really to sort of re-engage, create this performance-based culture in the city, or at least start down that path. And I think that was a valuable trade-off, and one that I was willing to make. But the things we've taken some of those analysts away from, are sort of the core budget analysis, the monitoring and tracking of what's going on a monthly basis in their bureaus, the site visits out to the bureaus, the deeper dives into some of the programs, meeting some of the line staff, et cetera. And I don't think that is sustainable in the long run. I think that we are going to run into an issue here of that trade-off of, do we continue building the performance management system and turning it into something even more robust? And I really hope we do. And I can talk about that a little bit because I think it's really valuable. Or do we sort of go back to some of those core functions? And so that's really the genesis of asking for the senior management analyst position. Funding of that position would allow us to continue and expand on that work, specifically thinking about some of the monthly performance check-ins, which if you look at other cities that are a lot further along than we are, this is a really key component of their performance management system, are these monthly check-ins where they're bringing bureaus in. And again, bureaus are cycling through, so they're not there every month, but maybe they're there every quarter. And they're being asked questions, and very similar to the questions that you've all asked during this process about these KPMs. Are we tracking the right things? What does the data look like? And what can we do to help improve the situation? And so I think the position would really help with that. And again, would help making these dashboards even more interactive. I think you'll see, when you see these online, there's a lot of data behind this. And the goal here is that a citizen can go on, can look at this dashboard, can actually hover over one of these, can click on it. It will then take you to the bureau, more detailed information. And, you know, as Katie's pointed out, she said, well, what about, you know, should we break this measure down into other components? The goal is that that would actually happen. So you would see this measure, you'd click on it, you'd see the components of it, you could click on those and get even further. And again, I think this position would help with that. I did offer up an offset because we are requesting an ongoing position. The offset I offered up was to eliminate the limited term position and the Hatfield Fellow position that are in my office. I don't recommend that offset because I have found those, the limited term and the Hatfield Fellow positions, incredibly useful to allow flexibility in hiring. Again, it's a small office. It's a small office of professional analysts. I do lose 1 to 2 people a year. They go on to bigger and better things. Hopefully, we're able to keep them in the city of Portland. Sometimes they go to other governments outside of the city. And so in terms of managing that, the Hatfield Fellow program, I would highly recommend that to every bureau in the city. It is incredibly cost effective, $35,000, and you get someone for 32 hours a week for 8 months. And we've had 3 Hatfield Fellows, all of which have been just phenomenal. And the limited term position allows me, again, to bring in people often straight out of graduate school on more of a trial basis. And if they work out then and someone else leaves, it sort of creates that pipeline. So that's really the reason why I would not recommend that offset, although we did put it on the table for discussion. And if the senior management analyst for performance management is not funded, I would actually like to keep that limited term position in Hatfield Fellow to keep that flexibility. And then I would probably, in turn, if it's not funded, either scale back on the program management implementation or scale back on the budget analysis or do a little bit of both. And we do that in consultation with council in terms of what the impact of that is. The very last package I would talk about is a utility analyst position, and this is coming out of the Blue Ribbon Commission. Again, the mayor and Commissioner Fish impaneled a Blue Ribbon Commission to look at the governance and management of the city's utilities. One of the recommendations coming out of that is to create a public utility board, and the suggestion of that Blue Ribbon Commission was that that public utility board be staffed by a new position located within the city budget office. So again, we've included that request in here, really at the request of the Blue Ribbon Commission. I know council has not yet, I think, formally taken action on those recommendations, but that position is funded with water and sewer resources and would be solely dedicated to, again, staffing the public utility board and looking at utility issues.
So that's one person for $200,000?
So the recommendation from the utility board is an additional position in addition to the existing staff. So we have about one FTE dedicated to water and sewer analysis now. This would fund an additional position, and that's the fully loaded cost, including sort of the internal bureau overhead, is being loaded into that cost. We have a further breakdown. I don't know if you have it with you or not.
I do. So the fully loaded cost of the position, it's a principal financial analyst, so it's at about $150,000 for a fully loaded with benefits for that level of an analyst. There's a little bit of M&S in there, and then there's about $48,000 of the administrative overhead for the office, which is a portion of Andrew's time, a portion of my time, a portion of space rent, et cetera, that water and sewer would pay for that position.
We did have some discussion about whether it should be a principal financial analyst or a senior financial analyst. And again, that may be a conversation when council takes up these recommendations again. I think we are more likely to get someone who has the utilities background that the Blue Ribbon Commission was looking for at the principal level, but that's not to say we couldn't find someone at the senior level, which again would save a little bit of cost.
Andrew, how many Hatfield fellows do we have?
In the city?
No, well, either in the program or here.
So I just have one in my office.
Right, and there's one in government.
And there's one in government relations. I think there are only about 25 a year out of PSU, 20 to 25, and they are throughout government, throughout Oregon. But I think the city has at least two or three and may have more than that. And then the last thing I would just note in terms of our dashboard, doing performance management for administrative functions is very difficult, and it always has been. And when you read the literature, it's one of the more challenging aspects. And you know, the position we took on this, and really, again, we sort of wanted to set an example for some of the other bureaus. But you will see that the measures that we have on here, with the exception of the second one, the CBO customer service rating, that obviously is within our control in terms of the types of customer service we provide. And we do a survey every year on that to get feedback from our bureau customers and from council as well. But the other three measures really are things that are outside of our control. But I think they're really important to have on our dashboard. And one of them is the annual repair, rehabilitation, and replacement funding gap. So this is the gap we talked about at the asset management session right at the very beginning. And the other one related to that is the third one, the percentage of CIP funding that's expended on repair, rehabilitation, and replacement. Obviously, those are not decisions that the city budget office makes. They're decisions that bureaus make and they're decisions that council makes. But when we thought about what is the purpose of a budget process, and the purpose of, and our job is to manage the budget process and performance management system in the city, and the purpose of a budget process is to ensure effective, sustainable, resilient finances, operations, et cetera, into the future. And these were two measures that seemed really relevant today to the situation we're in. And I think what they generate is, to the extent that first measure, say the funding gap, continues to rise, we hope that you're asking us, what in the budget process are you doing? What processes do you have in place? What information are you providing that is helping both understand that issue and potentially bring it down? And so I would be able to point back to things like the ranking process that we started this year, and sort of bringing all these projects through that ranking process, so that hopefully we're the resources we are spending are going to those highest priority assets. And the percentage of CIP funding, again, that hopefully we're having those conversations both internally and with council to make sure that we are spending money on our existing assets as much as we can before expanding the system and adding new O&M components. And the last one I actually love, and I was very reluctant as the bureau director. My staff brought this to me, and I said, there's no way I want to be held responsible for whether other bureaus are meeting their KPMs. And yet, the argument became a discussion, and then became a resolution that we're going to do this, is that is the goal of a performance management process. The goal of it is that these KPMs are going to show positive year-over-year results, and that if they're not doing that, then there's something wrong in the process we're running. And it may not be my fault. I may come back to you and say, well, gosh, look at what these bureaus did. It's you know, I can explain to you why, but it really is the goal of what we're doing here. And so they convinced me that this really is, and I now am a true believer that this is something that should be on our dashboard. And again, I think as we're talking about these dashboards for all bureaus, we've been sort of trying to encourage bureaus to take this approach of, what is your ultimate goal? What is the benefit that you're providing to the public, and how can we measure that? And with that, I will stop talking because
that's a great, you provide a perfect rationale for why we should scrap any KPM that starts with a history of 100%. Because you can't show any progress. And if it's at 100%, I'm guessing it's not something that is as urgent as something where it starts at a lower number and there's a stretch goal.
I think we read that in the literature as well, in the performance management literature. So making sure that the measures are relevant to the decisions being made.
I wonder, because if you have an economic downturn, you may have a measure where you've been at 100%, but you're going to set your budget target at 80%.
And I think in some ways, you know, again, the dashboard, the KPMs on the dashboard are not and should not be the only things being tracked. And so it's not that these measures that are 100%, maybe they should continue to be tracked by the Bureau. But again, to the extent that they expect to be there, you may want to, they should be tracked. And if they're going to go down to 80, it may even be elevated as a conversation. But what you want is that whatever it's relevant to the decisions that need to be made in that you know, particular year. So you're sort of seeing what the impact is going to be. That's the theory.
I couldn't help but think when I was looking at your sensitivity to what other bureaus are doing with the KPMs that, you know, if there is an economic downturn, and there will be at some point, how important it is for bureaus to set those targets commensurate with the new budget reality, right? Because the numbers may go down, but as long as they go down in line with expectations or something like that, you won't be butchered here.
You know, and that's a key part of performance management is it really shouldn't be seen as a way to, you know, to go after bureaus as sort of a gotcha exercise, which is not to say there may not be an example, right, where you sort of say, well, why have you failed to do this? And, you know, what is that, you know, and hold the bureau accountable for that. But that's not the overriding goal. The overriding goal is really to have that discussion. Did you set the target high enough, right? Are we, or in a downturn and during a cut period, you know, are we being realistic about what we can achieve? And what do we as a council, as a budget committee, as bureau management need to do to turn it around if it's going the wrong direction? And it may very well be more resources. You know, it may very, you know, government relations may come back in and say, look, we weren't able, you know, to achieve the legislative agenda we were trying to achieve because we didn't have the administrative staff. And which is something that they've asked for, and they may be able to tie those things together. That may be the ultimate outcome of a good performance management system.
So I have a comment. And when I look at your dashboard, it looks like, and this is going to, this sounds a little harsh, but I'm just going to say it this way. It looks like the purpose of the city budget is to repair old buildings. So I guess what I would like to see, is a measure of the, you know, like, I guess it's the hole in the hole that isn't, the thing that isn't there, that needs to be there. And that's, you know, what I advocate for all the time. Is infrastructure in East Portland that doesn't exist. And so when I look at this, I see billions of dollars of things that need to be repaired and nothing about taking care of the needs of, you know, a quarter of our citizens. So I just, I guess I kind of caused me to flare a little bit there. So I, you know, that's all I have to say.
Maybe we should just go with the formula we established in the street fund discussion, that 56% of the purpose of the city budget is to repair old things and 44% is to address equity issues.
Or the other way around, Commissioner. So I very much appreciate this analysis and indeed analysis throughout the budget process. I can't remember how we used to do it before the city budget office existed, and I certainly appreciate the way it's done, and I support your analysis, except for the replacement of the budget software. We spend 6 months of the year doing the budget, and part of the current system is that it's readily available to citizens, and I would think that the bureau staff who have to input their budget stuff would be very unhappy if it had to be all done by spreadsheets, as well, and your staff would be overburdened. It's hard enough as it is. So I think we should look at, I mean, it would be overhead funded. It could be overhead funded, right?
It would. If it went through our office, yes, the portion would be overhead funded. So of that, and I think the request actually reflects that of the $1 million, and that $1 million is extremely low confidence. So if the reporters who are watching know that that is a at this point, just we have called some vendors to get a rough estimate, but that is the extent we've taken on it.
That is the low end of the range, I would say.
Yeah, but again, the general fund would be $463,000, and the other revenues are $536,000, and those other revenues come from water, sewer, PBOT, et cetera, which again is a cost burden for them. So.
It is, and as I mentioned earlier today, I'm very reluctant to continue to add more and more costs that are shared throughout the bureaus. On the other hand, I believe this one is a really important one.
Related to that, have you evaluated open source budget software?
No, we haven't formally. We certainly would if we got approval to move forward with the project. We'd put out an RFP, and before doing an RFP, right. We'd look at sort of all the options.
Right. You'd still have lots of implementation costs, I'm sure, but you'd avoid the license fees. Yeah. And what operating system does the software rely on?
You're talking about the Windows operating system?
Yeah.
Right now, that's why we're out of compliance right now. We're currently operating on Windows 7, but the software platform is not made for Windows 7. So what we did is we went to the vendor and said, will you upgrade the system? And they said no. So we tried it anyway, and it works. And that's why we're in that. If there's anything that changes, the system could just kind of shut down.
And have you tried it on Windows 8?
Right. We haven't tried it on Windows 8.
Your real risk is when you're no longer willing to run the operating system that the software depends on, right?
So, we have no idea what will happen when we go to Windows 8.
Right. So you might try installing it and see what happens. That would help gauge the risk.
Windows 7 is going to be supported by Microsoft through 2019. I'm just saying, you have some time. We use Windows 7 at PSU, and we have no plans to move to Windows 8 anytime soon. I think you've got some distance there. The question is whether or not Microsoft's going to introduce a patch in the next 5 years or 4 years that's going to break the software that you use. So I hope that when you guys do your operating system upgrades, you are ready to do a rollback if necessary. And that also has consequences potentially because it leaves your systems at risk if you're not patching, et cetera, et cetera. And I know you guys have all.
We've even had server patches. We had a server patch a few months ago that actually shut down the system. We got in contact with BTS and they reversed what they had done and fixed it, but there are those things that could shut it down at any point.
Andrew, can I just ask you a kind of structural question? When we created the Independent Budget Office, one of the guiding principles was we wanted more transparency. And my sense in the last, to echo what Commissioner Fritz said earlier, my sense is that the council as a whole is getting better, more timely, more transparent information about the budget process, about numbers and options. So I think my sense is that's working. A second goal, though, over the last few years was to establish some creative tension and checks and balances within the city. So we have an independent budget office. We have what I'll call a quasi-independent CFO. We have the budget committee of the council that operates, and there's meant to be checks and balances and a little bit of tension within the system. How's that working?
There's always tension. I think it's working well. One of the challenges of a budget office anywhere, and this is really at any level of government, is to effectively balance that. One of our jobs is to ask questions that sometimes bureaus don't like, and sometimes, frankly, those questions can be obnoxious, and I understand that. The goal is to ask those questions up front so that the bureau is able to either respond and in a convincing way, or sometimes change those packages to make them stronger. So before they get funded, before they go out. And I think that's the value added from having that independent process. But we still need to maintain the relationships with the bureaus, that even when we're asking them very difficult questions or really just we're adding to their administrative burden because they have to answer them, doing so in a way that we still maintain good relations. And I think for the most part we've done that. It'd be a good question to ask others as well. I do think the customer service rating, we're at 4.3. This last year, 4.09, out of 5, which is good, and we're hoping to get better than that. But I think that's good, and that is a combination of council and bureau rankings. I will say council is higher than that. Bureaus are a little lower. One more on Thursday.
Next on Thursday.
And just transportation and the utilities, so not a whole lot of money on the table.
Windows 8.0 was an operating system that was optimized for phones, but they also ran on computers.